I want to read a passage of scripture tonight that is very well known to all of us, and I'm not going to preach on all of the verses because we'd be here until I don't know when. But I do want to read, if you will turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8.
Amen.
This word 8 keeps coming up, doesn't it?
8,
yeah. I want to read, starting at verse 28, and I'm going to read to the end of the chapter, verse 39. It is a wonderful passage of scripture, of that there's no question. I think we'd all agree with that.
Amen.
In verse 28 it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow ourselves before your holy presence in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask that you would be pleased in your mercy to pour out your Spirit upon us at this time. As the word goes forth from these lips, may it be only the word of the living God. May we hear that word. May it be a blessing to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here who knows not Christ, that the Spirit of God would be at work, bringing light to deadness. Hear us in our prayer. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as you can see, it's a wonderful passage. I dare not try to explain all the verses. As I say, it would take us a long time. But what I want to do is I want to go through some of the verses up through verse 34, and it is in verse 35 and the following verses that I will spend the most of the time in this message, although some might feel you're being robbed if I don't emphasize 28 and 29 and 30. But I am going to say a few things about this. This is a passage of the scriptures that should rejoice the heart of every believer. It's tremendous truth. Now, what I want you to notice in verse 28, the very first thing that impresses me with the apostle are these words, "and we know."
Yes.
You see, Paul is not doing guesswork. Paul is not hoping that something might happen. He has this confidence. He knows his God. He knows who his God is. His God has preserved him, has kept him, has watched over him, and continued to do so. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that all things. Now, if you underline your Bible, underline the three-letter word A-L-L. Because sometimes we forget. When hard times come, we sometimes inside at least say, well, God, what's going on? He said, we know that all things, it may look to me like a dark cloud out there, but God has a purpose in it.
Yes.
And when he takes us through tough times, he is taking us through it for a purpose,
yes,
for a reason.
Yes.
There's something in it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. But we're not finished. To them who are called according to His purpose. I will not know the blessing of God's salvation until He calls me by His Spirit. When He takes the initiative, people will come. You see, I have no doubt at all that all the people God has elected from before the foundation of the world will come to Him.
Yes.
They have come in His time and they have come in His way.
Yes.
They have come when He who has purposed it has set the time. You see, I believe in a sovereign God.
Amen.
And what that actually means is He's the last word. Let me illustrate it. Having come from the British Isles, I can use this. Now, we have a queen at the moment. Queen Elizabeth, very gracious woman, and there are those who say she has made a profession of faith. She's very religious, at least. We'll say that. But here's what I want you to know. Way back in history, the King of England, well, take Henry VIII, for example. You probably know him more than any other. Henry VIII was the absolute ruler in England. If he said the moon was polka dot pink, it was polka dot pink. I mean, he was in charge. Nothing went beyond him. Now, he saw himself in some ways as under God, but in the realm, he was in charge. He was the sovereign. But our God is even greater than him. He's the sovereign of all things, and He's in charge. And we do a disservice to the God of the heavens if we make Him anything less than that. If we make God dependent upon us, we become the sovereign. And when I give God a chance to save me, I'm the one in charge. You know, let's be honest about it. Huh? Well, anyhow, let's go on. To them that are called according to His purpose. This is a saying I have. I don't know where I learned it, but God never works by accident.
No.
He always works on purpose.
Yeah.
All right. Now, He goes on in verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. What I want to say in verse 29 is just that first part. Whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. You know people hate that word.
Yeah.
They hate it.
They do.
They do, with a passion. It's made up of two Greek words, prohorizo. Marked out beforehand. That's literally what it means. It can't mean anything else.
Right.
So here in verse 28, we have those who have been marked out by God, or those who are called, and now He says those who are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. It is God who takes initiative. It is God who does the work, my friend. And I'm so thankful that it is.
Amen.
You know, I'm so thankful that it is. Amen. But I must go on. Moreover, whom He did predestine, yet then He also called. Predestination and calling are tied together.
Yes.
You know, He is predestinated. Do you realize? Think about this. Before there even existed a word, God had a purpose for sending people.
Amen.
And if you're one of His, you're part of the purpose.
Praise God.
Everything's part of His purpose. Alright. Whom He did predestinate, then He also called, and whom He called, He justified. He purposed to call us, He called us, He justified us. It's amazing. And then He also glorified. You see, if He has called us from before the foundation of the world, one day we're going to stand in His holy presence.
Exactly.
That's the situation. It doesn't stop in the middle. He doesn't forget something halfway through. He doesn't say, oh, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have called it, though. He doesn't do that. What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? When we realize God's amazing grace, what else can we do? Those against us do not have the ability to defeat us. There's a man in the radio I listen to. Sometimes, and he always ends his program like this, and I'm paraphrasing his words now, but it amounts to this. He says, don't worry, folks, because we're on God's side, and we'll always win.
That's right.
And that's the truth. Anyway, what should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with us also freely give us all things? He spared not His own Son. Would you give up your Son as a sacrifice for something? be hard, wouldn't it? God the Almighty gave His Son for rebels, for sinners. That's what He did.
Yeah.
Believer, we have everything to thank for.
Amen.
How shall we not with Him freely give us all things that He has given us? His Son, He'll give us everything else. Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. If I'm an elect person, it's not because of anything I did. And I can't point the finger at God in a bad way. If I'm elect, it's because of His grace, it's because of His mercy, it's because of His love. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. You know, I love that part right there in the middle of the verse. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again. I don't want to preach last night's sermon again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. You see, I look at it this way. We're never out of God's mind.
No.
He's watching over us. He's caring for us. And the deceiver is there at the side. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I love these. You know, I want to preach for 10 minutes on each verse, but I'll never do it. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to go from verse 35 really. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes through a list of things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, or famines. Distress, tribulation, affliction in general, I'm going to call that. All sorts of affliction. Affliction, no matter what it is, will never separate us from the love of God. That's the point I want to make. Distress, difficulties, critical situations, anguish. That's the idea. I'm going through these quickly so I get to the main points. Persecution. Here's a man who can speak from experience. Paul was persecuted as a Christian. He went to prison. And it wasn't a place where he got 3 solid meals a day and a law library to study at. It was a place where he languished, which would stink to high heaven, as we used to say. No companions. And often when they were chained to the garden. You know, it was not pleasant. But he went to prison. Why? Because he was Christian. I said it last night, Bo said it again. The day may come in this country when Christians may go to prison. This might happen. I applaud Brother MacArthur over there in California. You remember the Sunday morning he got up and he said to his congregation, folks, we're just having a peaceful protest. That's what he said. Famine! How many places have we read stories, even in our age, where Christians have been starved to death? Nakedness, poverty, left with nothing. You know, you can have nothing of this world good and be one of the people of God.
Yes.
One of the people of the apple of his eye. You don't need to be rich to be God's person. Praise God for that. I'm so happy that that's the truth. Peril, dangers of all sorts, the sword. Paul faced, when you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul faced a lot of things, and it was difficult for him. Here's what he says in the 23rd verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths of. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, but one, that's 39 stripes each time. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of the waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I remember hearing Ian Paisley back in Northern Ireland preach on this, and he called this Paul's string of pearls. All right. Now then, what I want to do is just to say another a few more things then in these verses. In verse number 36, he says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And that is the experiences, those are the experiences that Paul went through. This man of great ability, he was a brilliant man, he was a genius in many ways. He was well educated. But he gave it all up.
Yes.
You remember what the book of Philippians said? I come to all but dung that I might win Christ.
Yes.
Nothing else mattered.
No.
But that he knew Christ. And my friend, I hope in your heart, nothing else matters but that you know Christ. That's really what it boils down to. Now then, I'm going to come to verse 37 and get to the verses that I think I would like to dwell on for the rest of the time, because I am looking at the clock. Alright. I want us to start in verse 37. Here's what Paul says. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What's to glory in being beaten? I have nothing. What can I be thankful for? You see, Paul is saying, in everything, no matter what it is, writing in his prison cell, some of his letters, no comforts at all. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Because he loves us.
Yes.
Jim McDowell, in the eyes of the world, is a nobody. But in the eyes of God, he's precious.
Amen.
You know, isn't it amazing, folks? We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And it is because he loved us from before the foundation of the world that we can rejoice in our salvation. He has not only loved us, he'll never do anything else but love us. And even when he rebukes us, it's out of love.
Yes.
We rebuke our children not out of hatred, but out of love.
Yes. Right.
He who loved us. In all these things, no matter what it is, all the trials and the tribulations and the persecutions, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors, Christian. And sometimes when it looks like the world is falling down around us, we sometimes want to bow our heads and we just, oh my, look to the Lord. We've been reminded of this again and again.
Yes.
Through these days. Look to the Lord, my friend. Trust in him. He will never leave us. Remember we said? He will never leave us nor forsake us. In the deepest hell of the earth, he'll never leave us. No matter what we're going through. No matter what we're going through. Paul is an example of that. That's why I like to spend time with the Apostle Paul. Now, let me look at verse 37. I want to read what one commentator says incidentally. For only Christ can turn the martyr's cross into the victor's cry.
Yes.
Only Christ can turn the martyr's cross into the victor's cry. The scriptures speak in Romans about our light affliction. But let me tell you something. Our light affliction is only for a moment.
Think about it.
Our light affliction. And sometimes they don't seem so light, do they? But they're only for a moment.
Yeah.
We'll be beyond them. One day we'll be in heaven. Oh, there are you Christians again, off on your heaven thing. Well, it's the biblical teaching. For those who are in Christ, there is a glorious future. No matter how long it takes to get to that time, it is glorious. Now then, let me turn to verse 38, and from verse 38 to 39, I want to say to one of them. I call these verses under this title, a settled conviction. Now look at how he starts verse 38. For I am persuaded. For I am persuaded. That's the same as what he read there in verse number 20. We know. Paul gives us hope because he's persuaded. He says, I am persuaded. I have this deep conviction. What he's going to tell us comes from this conviction of the God he worships. He believes God. He trusts God. He has experienced God's undertaking. He's not just using words. He's speaking from experience as well as everything else. I have been persuaded. It is in fact a settled conviction. Go to chapter 14, and I want to read one of the verses in chapter 14. Verse 14 of chapter 14 of Romans, Paul says, I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But no, I know and am persuaded. I have no doubt about it. He's not confident. And it is not confidence in Paul. God forbid.
Right.
It is confidence in the God who saved Paul. Your confidence is not in yourself, my friend. It is in him who in mercy has saved you. In chapter 15, the same book, chapter 15 and verse 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, you also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. He is confident. Here's a man who writes with confidence. Will you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I will read one of those verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want to look really at two verses, but I will, I'll go to just verse 12. For the which cause I suffer all these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know and I'm persuaded. This is Paul. This is Paul's confidence in the Lord of glory, in the Lord who has redeemed him, in the Lord who keeps him. So he says, I'm persuaded. Now, what's he persuaded about? All right. He says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to what he says. I am persuaded death will not separate us from the Lord. Do you know what death does? It enters us into his presence. That's what it does. You see, death for the Christian is not the end. Some would say it's really just the beginning.
Yeah, right.
You know, we've been on trial period, as it were. But one day we're going to see him. And this is the point. I'm persuaded that death will not keep us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We who are a little older, that day's coming perhaps sooner than for some others. But it's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be a day when we meet our Savior face to face. I want to read what Mr. Haldane said in one of his commentary on the book of Romans. So far from separating them from God, it is his messenger to bring them home to himself.
Yes.
I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he says, death will not stop us in life. He says, death nor life, nothing that happens around us, that happens to us, that happens with us, is ever going to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Christian, no matter what happens, if you're in him, you're settled. You're going to heaven. Nothing to do with you. Got nothing to do with your preacher. That's got everything to do with the God we preach. Like all the things that we face on a day-to-day basis, on a daily basis. But he's not finished yet. He says, death nor angels, angelic beings will not keep us from heaven. Angelic beings, whether they be good, bad, or indifferent. One writer says, the celestial forces will not keep us. Nothing will keep us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He goes on. Nor principalities, nor powers. Let me tell you something.
Amen.
No government agent will keep us from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No matter what they do. Remember, friends, no government agent will keep us from God. Some of our politicians, may I say it, have lost their minds. They're leading us astray. But you know something? They will not have the last word.
Amen.
God will have the last word. God will have the last words. Nor things present, the things around us now, the things that are happening now, maybe in your heart you realize there's something going on at this particular point, I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. That's not what Peter from the love of God in Christ Jesus said. Oh, my time is notable, isn't it? Nor things present, nor things to come. Whatever happens tomorrow is not an accident. Whatever happens tomorrow has been purposed by God for something. You may say, oh my goodness, how could this be from God? Sometimes we do. Lord, how can this be for my good? I can't see it all.
Right.
But He has a purpose in it. No matter what it is. You know? Now, some of you know about 5-6 years ago I had a stroke. And I'll be honest with you, I thought that was it. But you know something? God thought to Himself, you know, I'm going to keep it going. I don't know why. Maybe it was just the pest of your past. But let me tell you something, folks. No matter what it is, no matter how bizarre it might seem to be, what I want you to get is this. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And if this is what sticks in your heart and mind today, praise God.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing. And I emphasize that. Nor things to come, you see. What has happened yesterday? It's gone.
Amen.
What's happening today is it. And what happens tomorrow? So what?
Amen.
God is still on the throne. We used to sing a little song at home. God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own.
Amen.
His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And He is. We sang it all the time, didn't we, Jean? Yes, we love that song.
Amen.
All right. Nor things to come. Not. Nor height. Now we're looking at people going to the planets, you know. Somebody's going to try and go to Mars. And I ask myself, now I'm not a scientist, never professed to be. But what are you going to go to Mars for anyhow? Well, no, I know. Nor height, nor depth, no matter how low the floor may seem to be to you. You ever heard of people have their chin is so low they don't know how to lift it up?
Yeah.
No matter how low, folks, get the message. Height nor depth, nor, as if to make sure, nor any other creature.
Right.
Nothing. We're not leaving anything out. There's not a thing you can think about. There's not a thing that can happen that is going to keep you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus your Lord.
Amen.
Nor height nor depth, nor any other creature. I love it. Any other creature.
Amen.
Get that?
Yeah.
Nothing. I don't like wild animals.
What?
Wild animals.
Oh, wild.
I'll talk to you about that.
Wait.
A wild animal, you what? Know, is not one in a cage.
It's
a
white thing.
Oh, no, it
isn't.
All right. Brethren and sisters in this church, I will pray for you. Any other creature. It doesn't matter, my friends, if it's some new thing that comes up that we haven't even thought about before.
Right, right, brother.
The point I want to make is that man will not bring anything out, nor will God allow anything to happen that's going to keep us from it. You know. None of these things, they've been listed, and you can add to it in modern terms if you want, but nothing, nothing will keep us from the love of God.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
Now get the word nothing and understand it. That means there is no other thing or situation or issue that will come between us and the God who in Christ has redeemed us.
Amen.
But I want you to note this. He doesn't say, shall be able to separate us from the love of God and then leave it. Because it comes to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I heard a lot of people say to me, you know, Brother McDonald, I believe in God. So do the devils.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Trump.
Yeah.
But they
a lot of people may say, I believe God. But the God who brings us His hope is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the difference between us and every other religious institution in the world is that they believe in gods of various sorts. We believe that God reveals Himself to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is what makes us exclusive. That is why we cannot join ecumenical groups.
Right, amen.
That is why we cannot have a world religious parliament, although we're trying to do it. Christians are tied to a particular message which centers in a particular person. Our love of God is brought to us through Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished on Calvary.
Amen.
Without Jesus Christ, we have nothing to hope in.
Amen.
Really? Let's be honest about it. If Jesus Christ is not in the picture, we have no message to take the world. We have no hope to give the world.
Amen.
The Christian gospel is the message of God. It's not one of many messages. Well, McDowell, this group believes in God. We're all just coming to God in different ways. Will you turn with me to John chapter 14?
There you go,
John. And I'll let the Bible speak. Forget John McDowell. Let's turn to the Bible. In verse 6, the Lord Jesus said this. Jesus said unto them, now listen carefully, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He doesn't say, I am a way, I am a truth, I am a life. He says, I'm the only way, I'm the only truth, I'm the only life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not by meditation, and I'm talking about, you know, well, I was an alum. I thought it was a alright. But you see the point, folks.
Yeah.
Christianity, when it came into the Roman world, was so different. That's why they hated them.
Yes.
They could not blend in. They could not go to the performances. They could not go to the rituals because they had a different message.
Yes, right.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the only hope there is. And that's what Paul is praising God for. And my friends, it is true that in Jesus Christ there is life, and there is life more abundant. I want to read a poem that I believe was written by Ian Paisley as I finish. Who then can e'er divide us more from Jesus and His love, or break the sacred chains that binds the earth to heaven above? Let troubles rise and terrors foam and days of darkness fall. Through Him all dangers we'll defy and more than conquer all. No death, nor life, nor earth, nor hell, nor time's destroying sway can e'er efface us from His heart or make His love decay. Each future period that will bless, as it has blessed the past, He loved us from the first of time, He loves us to the last.
Amen.
May God bless His word to our hearts.